Afternoon, everybody. We're up to part number six in The Great Test. And part number six is called The Lord Provides. The Lord provides everything that He calls us to. And we're going to look at that. And we're going to unpack verse 13 and 14 of Genesis 22 and see how the Lord provides and gives. Genesis 22, 13 to 14. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. The first point that I want to make to us is that what God calls us to do, He always provides the means for us to accomplish that specific task. I'm going to say that again. That the very thing, whatever it is that God calls us to do, God always provides the means for us to accomplish the specific task. This means we can have no excuses for not going and doing what God asks, because He always provides the empowerment to do it. God never expects us to come up with the means first. He has given us everything we need to life and godliness in giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that His divine power, that is essential, that God's divine power has granted to us, the church, everything pertaining to life in Him and godliness in Him through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Through God's divine power, God has given us full access to possess everything in accordance to an eternal life now, which empowers and enables us to live out a life of godliness now. Not a form of godliness, but a life of godliness. Failure to receive this divine power will have us trying to access life and godliness through our own strength, which only sees us birth a form of godliness. A form of godliness is where we create a God and His ways in our own image, and we live in accordance to this false image that we create, or this false perspective. It is nothing short of death painted up as life. Now God calls Abraham to offer up his son Isaac, while at the very same time He provides a ram to take the place of Isaac. And this is the great test, as we've looked at so far in the previous five resources. When it comes to God's provision, where are your eyes fixed? Let me ask you that question. When it comes to God's provision, where are your eyes fixed? Colossians 3:2 teaches us to set our minds on the things above. Now, what this doesn't mean is just to look up as if we're looking towards heaven. What it means is to set your mind on the eternal kingdom of God and the life that exists in this kingdom. Not have your eyes and your mind set on the kingdom of the world, which is all about you trying to provide for yourself what you need. By faith, when our minds are set on the things above, the eternal invisible realm, we're able to possess what's in that realm, not in this earthly realm. When we think we are the ones that must provide, or we are the ones that must do, then we are outside of God's design and we will never get to experience and know a life we were created for and a life of godliness that we are called to be living. Abraham possessed what God had provided and performed the act of worship unto the Lord by offering up the ram as a burnt offering. Abraham laid hold of God's provision and called the place, "The Lord will provide." God is not a liar, and he will always do what he says he will do. This is no different to Jesus providing the food for the 15,000 people who had journeyed with them into the countryside. God provided through a young boy 2 fish and 5 loaves. And as we know, Jesus took that provision, he gave thanks, he submitted it under another kingdom called the kingdom of God, which was on earth, and God blessed that abundantly. And there was an abundance of food which fed everyone, not only feeding everyone, but there were 12 basketfuls left over, just to demonstrate God's abundant provision. He always provides for what he asks us to do. Now, the disciples' initial response to Jesus in that scenario was to send the people away, because they saw it as their responsibility to provide, instead of realizing God had already provided for everyone, and by their faith in him, they were supposed to do what Jesus did. This is where faith plays a massive part in our fellowship with the Lord. Abraham, as we've looked at, was a man of great faith, and it was this great faith that had him accomplish great works for God, making them a righteous act. And as we know, the bride will have righteous acts, acts that are inspired, led, and empowered through the Holy Spirit by faith. It was his faith in God that empowered and enabled him to walk in alignment to God and God's way. God has graced us to live out what truth calls us to, grace being divine empowerment. So God gives us his divine power within us to live out, not try to live out what truth calls us to. And as I've just said, grace is power, empowering us by grace is power, and we find ourselves being to live a life of grace, which is a life of power. So we're able to demonstrate the wisdom of the kingdom of God on the earth, and by doing that, glorify the Father, which is what Luke 7:35 says, "Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children." So children of wisdom prove they are children of wisdom by living it out. And so that is this next part for us of this great test, part 6, that God provides everything that he asks us to do. We are not the ones who have to come up with it. We are not the ones that are ultimately responsible. He is. Our responsibility is to be in Christ and to live out a life that is in Christ through the divine grace that God has given us as his people. Take care. We'll see you soon for part 7.